edition of Nexus magazine pops through my door, and I definitely recommend it to you. All right, let's get into this technology now. It seems to me that a lot of these shows, week by week, are panning out into being a lot of space news and a lot of technology. That's just how it's hanging at the moment, with a certain side order of UFOs and ghosts. At the moment, that's how topics are shaping up, if you look at the news, which I do, since I compile all of this stuff. I was just saying to Mark, my producer, in the control room here, that I've got 9 pages of A4 here. Most of it I haven't had time to read, but that's a whole other issue for a whole other time. I shall have to type less. Technology, Febzy Turkup, the gadget detective, is here. Febzy, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Febzy. Listen, I know that you've been doing loads of conversations with various media outlets, all of them inferior to this one, talking about this topic today. The emergency test on our phones, nominally at 3 o'clock today. Now, to most people in the UK, this is something new, and some people have said it's an invasion of our privacy, and people have complained about it for various reasons, but I think what they don't realise, and what I think you might have explained a number of times today, is that some countries have been doing this kind of thing for years. In the United States, for example, when I was a teenager, I used to love this jingle that we're about to play that introduced the emergency broadcast system tests in the United States that were done by broadcast radio. Have a listen to this.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, the station will conduct the test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
And for years and years and years, that has happened, as you will know, Febzy, on American radio stations, maybe not with the sung jingle done by PAMS years and years ago in Dallas, Texas, but certainly with an announcement saying there follows now a test of the emergency broadcasting system, this is only a test, and that same noise that we heard today on our phones at three, well, some of us heard on our phones today. So this is something that is not new and is done for a reason, isn't it?
Yeah, so in the States, I mean, you've talked about radio broadcasts, but America has been doing this for over 10 years to people's mobile phones, their cell phones. So it's certainly not new. It's not thought of as creepy or intrusive in most parts of the United States. They're called Amber Alerts, and one of the uses they put them to is to recover children that have been lost or abducted. It's very important to try and recover a child within, you know, the first minutes and hours that a child goes missing before whoever's taken them gets further away. And one of the ways that they do that is that they put out these Amber Alerts to people's mobile phones, and there's a very good recovery rate as a result of it. So they're not freaked out by it at all. It's an extremely good idea. I just don't understand this idea that this is somehow an invasion of privacy. It's no more an invasion of privacy than someone broadcasting radio to you, because that's what it is. It's a broadcast signal.
Right. And I think some people have made the assumption, and from what I understand, and you can clarify this, wrongly, that because it's coming to your phone, the powers that be who are sending this out to you know your number, know your details, and can mine your information.
Yeah, so it's just like a broadcast. Just they don't need to know your location or your mobile number or who you are. You just have to be in a particular area where they're broadcasting in order for you to receive it, just like a radio station. If I'm in a broadcast area of a radio station, I've got a radio in my hand, I can hear the signal. It's the same thing. They're broadcasting using the 4G network, but it's a cellular broadcast and your phone is just picking it up. If you were abroad in one of the 19 other countries that currently already do this and have done this for some time, very successfully, then your phone would pick up their signals, and people visiting here will get it. It's not to do with where you live, who you are, what your number is. If you've got a 4G or 5G capable device, it has a chance of picking up the signal, although we saw today not everybody got it.
We'll get to that in a second. This message that came with it too, a big red screen filling message that you will have seen, had an OK at the bottom, and I have to say, without even thinking about it, I hit OK. Why did it have an OK?
Well, so they don't want you to accidentally just swipe past it or not even see it because another app takes over the screen. So it takes on the screen and it effectively puts a lock on the screen. Interestingly, my one didn't have an OK button. Oh. It had a settings button below it. So it was giving me the option to change the settings. I guess because there's been so much fuss about it, they're allowing people to change it. But, it's really not a big deal. I mean, anyone who's got a text message, I mean, it's not so much. I might personally just ease off on the scary alert sound. I'd probably make it like a Facebook alert or something just to get people's attention.
Many things in this country have been dumbed down, Fevzy. You know, what do we want? An ice cream van chime, maybe. Now, no need to worry. There may be a disaster, there may not be. But please don't worry, we're just letting you know. Not sure about that. You know, I quite like that noise.
But you talk about dumbed down, and I think that's the point. Have you seen some of the conspiracy theory text messages doing the rounds? I mean, just completely bizarre. And it really worries me because of, and we'll come to AI in a moment, right? But the combination of disinformation and AI is going to be killer. So I saw messages, and this is completely bogus, but I'll just repeat some of it just so you know how stupid it is, that because everyone's phone was going to be making a noise at one time, this was an ideal opportunity for the government to test their new 5G weapon against us to see what the population could tolerate. So we were going to have these 5G signals beamed to us as targets to see what we could tolerate. And the advice was to switch off all our devices, including Wi-Fi, although what Wi-Fi has got to do with it, I don't know, to go into the woods or the moors and get out of buildings. Well,
I know I did.
Just for one moment, imagine that someone was beaming deadly waves to us. Turning off your mobile phone will do nothing about that. That's the equivalent of thinking that if someone fires a bullet at you, and you turn your head away, that the bullet can't harm you.
Fevzy, please don't even raise the question, because we know that that's not true and we don't want even the question raised. I think the problem is that everybody's an armchair expert these days. Everybody has powerful communication technology at their fingertips. So if they want to come up with a cockamamie conspiracy theory about something that is clearly a test of a system, whether it's a good idea or not, I'm not going to get into. It's a test of a system. That's what they were doing, and they did it. There was nothing else to it. Quite bizarre.
They did, but I'll just say one thing to you about this. That one of those text messages that I saw struck me as being an attempt at disinformation to deliberately scare people. And I think that if you want to try and harm people of a country without firing a missile at them, you want to do that. One of the things you do is you persuade them of things that are not in their best interest. So to avoid, for example, listening to an emergency message that could save your life.
What, so you it's think that the there's something more sinister to these messages that I haven't seen, other than just nutty people?
Well, look, we know people try to interfere with elections. We know that people spread disinformation about vaccines and their safety. It had some of the hallmarks to me of something that was crafted to try and scare people into switching them off, and for no good reason.
Right.
Well,
I'm glad we've covered that off, and I'm sure I'm going to get some emails about various things. I can't even anticipate what they might be, but please, if you are about to email complaining about anything that I've said, please don't bother. That's all I can say. So, a couple of quick points about the test. I got mine 1 minute early. Some people didn't even get theirs. Others got several.
Yeah. So I got mine just under a minute early. Some people, particularly on the Three network, didn't get theirs. Large numbers of people, it appears, on the Three network didn't get that. And look, part of the point of doing a test is to see if it works, right? Otherwise, why you wouldn't need to test. So it's partly to get us used to it, but it's also for them to see if it's working, because the tests they did before this were regional. This is the first time they've done a national test. They're obviously behind with this because the original launch date for this was last autumn, and it's obviously been pushed back, and still we're not even sure when it will go live. I mean, we've had the test, but does it mean it's live now? I don't know. I don't think so. But they will analyze who didn't get it. One of the interesting points I saw was that someone who uses a text reader app on their phone because they're visually impaired, it couldn't read the message because the siren was going off and it had taken over the audio on the phone. So it couldn't read the message that was on there. So that was kind of interesting. They should make that. They should change that so that text readers can actually read these messages off the screen.
See, if you're as old as I am, I can remember my Auntie Amy in Liverpool lived very close to St Edmund's Church, and behind St Edmund's Church was St Edmund's School in Waterloo. And I would often go round to Auntie Amy because she'd make me a lovely cup of coffee with loads of milk, which I liked when I was a little boy. And quite often when I was there, there would be a test of a siren. It just so happened our local emergency siren was in the grounds, I seem to remember, of St Edmund's School. This is years and years ago. And that thing would go off like, and it would be tested periodically. Mm-hmm. Is this, do you think, the equivalent of that? That was for civil emergencies.
That's right. And you know, air raid sirens and all of those things. I mean, you didn't get people in the Second World War saying, oh, this is an invasion of my privacy. They're sounding this siren and telling me what to do. And, oh, my God. I mean, just people have just gone a bit crazy, I'm afraid.
Well, I think, look, you know, I try and see all sides of a debate, but I can't honestly, personally, unless there's something huge that I've missed because I'm, you know, not as clever as I should be, I can't honestly see how you could read any conspiracy theory at all into a test of this system unless you've got too much time on your hands. But, you know, that's a whole other thing. OK, so is it going to happen again? Are they going to do this again?
There's no more tests announced. They may do another test, depending on how well this one's found to have gone, if they were serious shortcomings. They want to make sure it works because there was a rather unfortunate incident in Hawaii in 2018 where an incorrect message went out and told people that there was a missile heading towards them. Now, that, unfortunately, fortunately, it was not true, but unfortunately, it did scare a lot of people. So it's incumbent upon the government to not overuse this system and also to make sure that accurate messages go out, and finally that they don't get their system hacked. If they get the system hacked, that could be
I hope that their security is up to snuff. I'm sure it is, because the potential for misusing that would be a cause for concern, and maybe would be a cause for people to come up with conspiracy theories. I don't know. Artificial intelligence, Fevzi, we've talked a lot about this. We did a whole podcast about it a few weeks ago. I don't know whether you've seen this story. It's only in the Daily Star, but Steve sent it to me this evening. I said I'd mention it. The AI Nostradamus, making seven huge predictions. The good folks at the Daily Star newspaper resurrected Nostradamus, quoting here, so he could make a series of extra predictions for the 21st century with the help of the tech marvel that is ChatGPT. And among the things that came up were 2031, cure for cancer discovered, 2060, AI revolution, 2074, mankind's first colony on Mars, 2084, cyborgs become a reality. 2085, deadly new pandemic breaks out. 2099, 14 years later, peace on Earth. That all sounds highly suspect to me, but they've used it. What does that tell you?
It tells me that they're all wrong except for the last one. And what I mean by they're all wrong is that they're the date by which they'll happen, in my opinion, are all set far too far into the future.
I think
AI revolution, cancer. I think that sort of thing is some of that is within our grasp within the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Yep.
I know. People have been caught out by the leap that AI has taken, even in the last year. I've never seen a technology topic, Howard, where there is a new significant announcement at least one every day. It's quite remarkable. It's hard even for me to keep up with the details of what is happening. So many new products, so many updates. You know, cycles are so short as well. You know, we used to, you know, version one of the software, and then maybe after a year we get another year. Now it's happening within weeks and months, and it's changing so rapidly. So those things, cure for cancer, well, I mean, we're already curing cancers, of course, depends on which cancer. One of the things that AI will do will allow us to have a bespoke treatment. So looking at your DNA and other factors, that you'll have a cancer cure just made for you. And that's really very important. So I think that those things will happen. As for Nostradamus being recreated by ChatGPT, I suspect that the AI version will be as accurate as the original.
Okay.
I won't say any more than that.
Now, listen, time is always our enemy here, but the Twitter blue ticks. I'm getting very, very confused about this. First of all, the blue ticks from famous people's accounts were removed, unless, of course, they paid a fee to have them. Now they've all been put back for celebrities and important people, including some who've died. Is that so?
Yeah, it is so. So it's worth taking just a couple of steps back. So the blue ticks used to indicate a verified account. So someone or an organization which was of some note could provide their details to show that they were the person they claimed to be in that account. And the reason why that's important was not for the ego of those individuals. It is for the rest of us to know who we're speaking to. So if you're getting news from someone who purports to be a news organization, that you know it's a genuine news organization, not a fake. Equally, you know, if the president of the United States says something, then you would at least want to know that it was really from the president, whether or not you agreed with it or not. That's what it was for. Then it was removed, and we were told you have to pay for it, $7 a month. But what was clear was they clearly weren't verifying those properly, even when people did pay, because one of the first things that happened, for example, is that several Hillary Clinton accounts went up with all the same pics that looked real, verified, claiming that she was going to stand for president at the next election.
I mean, all of this rubbish.
So there's been a big revolt. People have been refusing to pay. And now, you see, the problem with that is it adds to the amount of disinformation on Twitter, because you can't know what reliable sources of information are anymore. And because of that, advertisers will move away from it in greater numbers than they've already done. They will lose more money from advertising than they got from their $7 a month fee. So I think that Elon Musk has probably understood what he should have understood maybe a month ago when he announced the policy, but this is a crazy policy. And the irony is that he said, well, we're doing it because Twitter shouldn't decide who is important and who is not. That's exactly what they're doing now, because they're giving it back to those that they deem important and those that they want to give a platform to, and not others, because without the blue tick, your tweets are relegated as well, and fewer people see them as well. So Twitter are now doing exactly what they said they would not do, and frankly, it's rank hypocrisy.
Oh, kind of looks that way, doesn't it, Febzy? But, strange world in which we live, and a lot of it driven by technology. Thank you, Febzy, very much indeed. You have a good night. Febzy Tugup, the gadget detective. Thank you very much to him. We were talking about the emergency broadcast system here. Rick has sent in this text that says the problem, and this has been widely talked about during the week, but let's say it again. The problem with the emergency broadcast is that many abused spouses have a secret phone for emergencies. And if these phones were not switched off at that time, the emergency broadcast would have exposed those secret phones to their abusers, leading to more abuse. Well, potentially. Rick in Birmingham, thank you for that. That's an issue that I don't know what the answer to that would be. Maybe as more people understand how these things work, then perhaps they will modify their behaviour, and those who've got those emergency phones will turn them off. But it's a problem, and I'm not sure how you get around that. Thank you for pointing that out. And very quickly, this came in from Ernest on a completely different topic. Says, I recently went to my uncle's 90th birthday party. I didn't feel up to going, but eventually decided to go in my car. Thought I'd need my phone to be charged, so plugged it into my car charger. I didn't touch the screen, just plugged in the lead, and a picture of my late mother finished up a flash.